If you are moving to Georgia, well, then you are going to have to get used to quite a few things.
What, do you have some kind of drinking problems?
It's a problem, Dan.
That's alcohol's abuse.
Well, to be fair...
Oh, don't say to be fair. I hate when people say to be fair. It sounds like to be fair.
To be fair.
Well, to be fair, the bottom inch of a beer bottle is 50% spit.
What's the meaning of this?
We found it in an old golf bag.
And why do you get it?
It's warm.
Still a beer.
Well, to be fair.
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 Get ready! Woo! We are on tour, and we're doing it better than anybody else alive!
This is the Cutline Podcast with your host, Michael Cavalunis.
Players, that's all we get to see this weekend. 89 at Augusta National, Georgia, the Masters. The cut line, a podcast unlike any other. Look, when you win the Masters, green jacket. When you're cushing a GPP, the color green, of course, the color money, green. Coincidence? I think not. The Masters tournament is just a day away. And the Cutline is excited to break it all down. It's your favorite major, and the Cutline is here. And we're going to give you our in-depth analysis of this year's DK player pool. Now, who knows what number podcast we are in your long line of golf podcast history. But we're always number one in your hearts. And regardless if we're in your headphones at work, the topic of conversation in your foursome, or even a momentous talk amongst your coterie, the Cutline is dedicated to providing its listeners with a show that's unique and in-depth to the DFS community, but simply said, we love it that you're here. So if you're new to the show...
Douchebag says what?
What?
What? And of course... If this ain't your first time clicking on the play button of the Cutline, this is long and eagerly awaited. The Masters, welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Michael Cavalunis, at Lunas on Twitter. Some quick, helpful plugs to get you ready for the weekend in case you haven't already. What you been doing? But make sure you're checking out Rick Run Good, Rick Gaiman, rickrungood.com, where you can get all the best stats, best info that all your lovely little hearts desire. Get ahead of the competition with your own custom model, detailed stats, and become a part of a community that just simply kicks ass. Now, the Cutline is here to bring you in-depth DraftKings analysis of the Masters Tournament, our first PGA Major of the year, and we're gonna do the best we can.
What a night. Crazy. Yes, telegram for hungover. Yes, I'll sign for that. Thank you very much. Oh, boy.
Give you the best opportunity to cash on Sunday. We'll be sure to bring in timely wax, greenside send traps, and a putt that might drop in through the back door. Of course, the goal is the cut line is to make sure that your lineups are cashing, your lineups are smashing, and that your bankroll is building on Sunday. But first, before we break down Augusta, the Masters, the tournament, the players, the guys we like, the guys we hate, I am a bit angry at the PGA Tour. I don't blame Liv. I've come to the conclusion that at this point in time, I don't blame the division between Liv Golf and the players that went to that company and faction of golf. And I don't blame the PGA Tour. What I do blame and hate right now is the fact that golf seems a bit boring. Dare I say it? Yeah, you take away last tournament, right? Last tournament was great. But the players, uneventful. You know, the Genesis, uneventful. The API, uneventful. Everything's kind of been mirrored in mediocrity. It's not Liv's fault. It's the PGA Tour's fault. You remember this guy named Tiger Woods? You know, when this guy was taking the golf world by storm? Where he was just winning majors galore, tournaments galore. It was Tiger against the whole entire tour. Do you remember when Bubba Watson was actually fun to watch shape the ball? We all hated Phil Mickelson, but guess what? We still watched. We saw his Masters win. There was drama. There were stories. There was a product that you could promote. In the PGA Tour, what'd they do? They put up a wall. They divided itself from the model that all their sports had been utilizing. Think about it. NFL. Think about how in-depth and behind the scenes you get with the NFL, right? We have HBO specials, NFL Sunday, broadcast after broadcast, interview after interview, in-depth player, you know, what they do in their daily lives. NBA, same way. MLB, same way. You could find so much information on team sites, so much information with interviews and whatnot, but what did the PGA Tour do? It shut its doors. Didn't want you to know what was going on behind the scenes when golf had never been bigger. I mean, let's be realistic, guys. Full Swing just came out a couple years ago, and that's the closest we've been to these players. It's ridiculous. PGA Tour dropped the ball in an opportune time to where they could have simply grown the game, grown the product. But what they did and what happened was they had basically a bomb go off of pure awesome luck in Tiger Woods, and they dropped the ball. It could have been open access, and then you didn't need to just use Tiger. And now we're stuck with watching Doug Gim, right? Doug Gim. We all know how I feel about him. Anyways, that's my two cents. Hopefully the PGA Tour fixes itself soon. You know, they got to develop their talent. They got to figure out a way to broadcast differently, to present their product differently. Let's hope they figure it all out. I really do. Now, back to Augusta. The first major of the year is here. I'm so excited. All the winners are back, of course, regardless of their faction that they belong to in terms of this professional golf community. And there just always seems to be something amazing that comes out of every tournament, out of every Masters, from Tiger's win just a few years ago. I mean, Sergio Garcia won here. Sergio Garcia doesn't win majors. He's supposed to melt down and throw his shoe and club and into a pond. Of course, like Adam Scott, Patrick Reed, Jordan Spieth. Hello, Jordan. Figure your stuff out. And of course, all those old guys that you're never going to roster. Soft pricing, amazing field, an incredible easy cut, chalky lineups, navigating it all. Question is, who are we going to be playing this weekend?
He's two putts from victory.
Only needs one.
Ooh, got a member's bounce there, boys. That's birdie all day long.
This is the Cut Lines Birdie or Better segment, where we're going to break down this Masters tournament. And for this podcast specifically, we are trying new things, new creative ways to bring you your content. I realize that we have a lot of problems here in the presentation of golf, DFS, golf gambling. Shows on YouTube are going far too long. They're like almost 2 hours long. They don't even make movies 2 hours long anymore. I mean, what's going on, guys? What are you doing? You think people are going to stick with your show for that long? Come on. Be better, people. Be better. Anyways, this week we have 89 golfers. That's it. So regardless of what you feel, what you think, you're going to need to get chalky. We're going to start with what we think are three common builds and the way to go and way to get different if you are going to go that route. The first being the Scottie Scheffler build. Right now we're projecting Scottie Scheffler ownership at about 28-29%. And there's good reason. Scottie Scheffler right now is the best player in the world. He's dominating the PGA Tour. He, you know, coming off massive wins from, you know, a third place finish at the Waste Management Phoenix Open, won the API, won the Players Championship, second at the Houston Open, coming in with extreme form, excellent history here, obviously being a winner in 2022. Like, Scottie Scheffler's in play, but the thing is, where's everyone going to go after that? And it's pretty obvious that the common build is going straight down to 6,200 Denny McCarthy. All right. Ownership right now is at about 10%. I think that number gets even higher in your bigger contest because you're going to get a lot of guys who just don't follow golf that well. And you see a name like Denny McCarthy, you see the success that he's had in his career. No major wins, don't get me wrong, but that's where it goes. They're going to Denny McCarthy. It's a name they know, and it gives you enough salary to go somewhere else. My advice, if you're going with this build, go with someone else in that $6,200. I like Lucas Glover. I like Bubba Watson. I like Ekrot. I like Zach Johnson. All right, Zach Johnson, by the way, is a two-time major winner. So, like, if you don't want to take Zach Johnson, you don't think he could play well here, I think you guys are crazy to think that you're going to win any GPP or any tournament by thinking you're getting different with Denny McCarthy. Now, I get it. Last 5 years, the history for Zach Johnson, suspect, questionable. But if you really think that Denny McCarthy is your answer as a debutant, like, no. I'd rather go Charles, go to Schwartzel, go to Danny Willett. Like, whatever you want to do in the 6,000 range, like, by all means, do justify it any way you need to. Gary Woodland finished 14th last year, right? 6,400. Not in the best form in the last, you know, his last five. But I think the last sneaky hidden play, like, if you do really need to just want to get different, you go with someone like Adam Schenck. Schenck finished 5th at the Valero, 33rd at the Valspar, 19th at the Players. Didn't do well at the API. You know, missed the cut. But again, the Players makes me feel confident enough for him to do well here. And he's 6,200. And that opens up your entire lineup build to just kind of take advantage of a field in order to get different. And, like, that's not the only spot you're going to have to get different when you're constructing Scheffler lineups. You're going to have to get clever in that 7 and 8K range. All right, next guy we are going to focus on. The Wyndham Clark build. I do think Clark's going to be a little bit more popular than people think. That narrative of, you know, first-time player has kind of gone out the window. 10K guy who is simply on fire, obviously making his debut. But at $10,000 on DraftKings, Wyndham Clark makes your lineups different immediately. And the ownership right now is only projecting in that, like, 10% range. So it gives you access to guys like Hovland and Cantlay and Spieth and Zalatoris and all those guys in that 9K range without breaking the bank. But I think the thing you need to avoid with the Wyndham Clark build is going with a 9K guy. Because then you're locked into rostering those 7K players. I think what a lot of lineups are going to do this weekend is roster 3-4 potentially, you know, as many as they can, 7K. Because let's look at it. Like, you got from Fitzy all the way down to Nick Taylor and Phil. Like, there's a lot of big names in that 7K range. I think the way you get different this weekend is really leaning in on that 9K, 8K build. And that's exactly where I'm going to go and how I'm going to start my weekend. And for fun, we're going to do one more build. It's called the Tiger Woods build, even though I don't suggest it. Now, Tiger is hampered by, like, that injury from the car accident. He's never going to be the same again. And everyone's like, of course, oh, he's got one more run in him. Does he?
Does he? Come on. But starting with Tiger Woods at 6,800, you could basically go any direction. If you want to go up to Rory McIlroy, that puts you at an average of 8,100. And you really think that Rory and Tiger are the answer. I'm not rostering any Tiger this weekend. I get it. The course history is big. He knows this course like the back of his hand. I just worry about the ability to compete for 4 days. Nostalgia wants me to do it, but everything else says no. I'm not going to roster Tiger Woods. It's just not going to happen. Sergio Garcia, he's not going to make any of that. I just had to throw that out there. So from an ownership standpoint, and again, we're still early in the process because we're recording early Wednesday morning, and we got at least two or three more updates today before everything's all set and away. By far, most popular guy, Scottie Scheffler, followed by Deki Matsuyama, and then Xander's getting a lot of steam, Tagala, Shane Lowry's getting a lot of love, Rory McIlroy, and John Rahm kind of is hidden in that 16, 17 range. He might end up going down right now, and a lot more love will go in a different direction. I think Corey Connors could end up getting more ownership. Finau, a lot of those like 7K, 8K guys that are kind of going behind the wayside. And let's be honest. Like, guys are not, again, they're going to be biased and they're not going to want to roster these LIV players, which from a golf standpoint, I don't understand. Like, they have track records, proven winners. Like, I think John Rahm builds are the sneaky way to go if you are going to really kind of tackle this upper 10K, 11K, 12K Scottie Scheffler range. That John Rahm, Brooks Koepka, going the LIV route could be special. Could be special going that way. So, we're going to go straight to our models now. Confidence model, looking at our top five. Pretty simply said, there's not going to be many surprises here. Scheffler, Rahm, Rory, Xander, Deki. Going to our overall stats model and what we're looking at this weekend. Our weights are going basically heavy on long-term form, a little bit of recent form, but we got Scheffler, Lowry, Wyndham, Clark, Deki, and Xander. Those are our top five. But we want guys that can putt. We want to see if there's anyone here that could potentially steal a round. And that's not what happens at Augusta. So this is my problem with using the putting model. But someone like Cam Smith, he needs to putt like crazy to win. I think Wyndham Clark's one of those options. I think Fitzpatrick's one of those options. I think your $6,200 Denny McCarthy, Max Homa, Tagala, Hatton. If Tyrrell Hatton doesn't have a meltdown, obviously, he's an option. Adam Scott, Nick Taylor, like a lot of those low 7K guys, they need to putt well for them to be in contention on Sunday. JT Poston, Freddie Couples, who I don't think will make the cut, but so what? They're going to need to be competing. Like, it's crazy. I'm not looking necessarily at putting as a big key stat this weekend, but what I do want to see is like 2024 stats, looking at guys that are able to hit fairways, drive the ball pretty far, and do well on par fives. So looking at the par five number, that leaves Scheffler, Nick Dunlap, surprisingly, in 2024 with limited data, Wyndham Clark, Van Ruyen, Patrick Cantlay, waiting for him to turn it around at $9,400. Matt Fitzpatrick, Finau, Tagala, Sam Burns, all the way to Minwoo Lee, JT Poston, Shane Lowry. You need to be aware that par 5 scoring has been pivotal in terms of success here. If you're able to get those birdies and some eagles, or even do the hit fairway on in three, make your birdie putt, Dustin Johnson win of the Masters. Do it that way. That's how Deki did it. He was aggressive on those par fives, and he ended up winning, doing well enough on those par threes. So those are a way to get into there. In terms of course history here at the Masters, looking at guys who are just done the best in terms of strokes gained, tee to green in the last 5 years, Rahm, number one, Scheffler, number two. Easy to figure that out, right? Close second is Deki Matsuyama at third. He's got four straight top 20 finishes with the win in 2021. You look at someone like X, X has three top tens in the last 5 years, but that glaring miscut in 2022. Then you look at someone like Cam Smith, third, 10th, second in 22, 21, and 20. And like you're looking at a Cam Smith that it can easily come in and play great golf, right? Like a live guy, got to be low owned. We know that if he's missing fairways, he's going to be playing out of the pine straw. But guess what? It hasn't bothered him before. And he hasn't missed a cut in the last 5 years. Cam Smith interests me for sure, just because people are going to be low on him, low on DJ. Patrick Reed plays well here. One missed cut in the last 5 years, has, you know, a win and a second place finish. Look at Brooks Koepka, second, seventh, second when Tiger won. Like, we're talking about guys that, like, they're good at golf. Justin Thomas can't make a putt. You need to roster him. You understand that putting woes are not going to last forever. Colin Morikawa's irons are brutally bad right now. But guess what? Another great course history guy. And if we know anything about the course history at Augusta, it matters. Learning to play that course matters. It helps your major chances amazingly. And it's just debutants tend to struggle. I know it's a common narrative, but we want to make you guys aware of that. So, but like looking at Corey Connors, finally missed the cut last year, right? But that was after a 6th, 8th, and 10th. Okay, 6th, 8th, and 10th, three straight top 10 finishes. Or Sung J.M., who's terribly bad at golf right now, but 16th, 8th, missed cut, 2nd. 2nd, the first year he was here. Zalatoris, how good was he the first time he was here? Like, a lot of narratives that you guys are going to hear this week that you may not need to listen to. So let's start with that top tier. All right, we're looking at Scheffler, Rahm, Rory, Brooks, and Wyndham Clark. I don't think there's a bad answer here. In fact, I don't think there's a bad answer at all, and this is where you need to pivot from ownership. I do think right now Rory McIlroy is undervalued, and his ownership just tends to always skyrocket at this event. There's nostalgia. There's hoping he completes the Grand Slam, but I don't see that Rory staying at that 17-18%. I think that gets a little bit up there. Scheffler, I don't mind eating the 28-30% chalk if you roster it correctly. But that leaves sneaky guys like Rahm, Koepka, and Wyndham Clark. I think that's the route you go, right? John Rahm won last year. He has been on live now for the year, which kind of upsetting, obviously, with the PGA Tour, him saying he would never go to live. But here we are. I think this is a very good chance and a good reality for these pro golfers to realize that maybe less is more. If Liv comes into this tour again and does as well as they did last year, when you looked at Phil, Brooks, Rahm, like, less is more. Like, these guys are competing because they're fresh and they're able to practice and get on the course. All right? It's kind of key in that regard that we can look at players from a different light, and that might be one of them. That might be the advantage that LIV players have, is they're just not playing as much golf. So you're not going to get any PGA Tour stats, right? This year in 2024, Wyndham Clark ranks 3rd in par 5s, 3rd in par 4s, 36th in par 3s, 10th in bogey average. You're not going to get that for Brooks Koepka. You're not going to get that for John Rahm. You're not going to see where they rank amongst the PGA Tour because they just simply don't have enough calculated stats to validify them. But still, you know the talent level of John Rahm. You know the talent level of Brooks Koepka. Those guys got paid. If you want to pivot away from Rory and Scheffler, by all means, go ahead and do it. I think it's a smart thing to do this weekend, especially with how chalky lineups can get. It's tough to avoid the chalk because there's just only 89 golfers in the field. You need to accept it. But you need guys that can finish in the top 10. You need 6 of them, especially for DFS. Getting different, getting low ownership. When I had Decky when he won, it was profitable. Why? I had the winner at sub 10% ownership. It's kind of key. Throw your narratives out the books, guys. It's a major championship. The best golfers come to play, except for Bryson DeChambeau. He never comes to play here. Watch that. Kick me in the ass later. But all those guys are in play. It's all about your lineup construction and what you're going to want to do. Going down to that 9K range, you got Xander, Neiman, Hovland, Patrick Cantlay, Jordan Spieth, Zalatoris, Oberg, and Deki Matsuyama, a former winner here at $9,000. It's kind of insane. Where do you go here? I'm not going to roster Xander. I want to. Don't get me wrong. I want to roster Xander. I just don't know if I can pay up for him for the guys that I want to address. You look at how he's been playing. Fifth at the Valspar, second at the Players Championship, 25th at the API, fourth at the Genesis. But the common narrative with Mr. Xander Schauffele is that he just plays terrible at majors, which in essence is true. I do have him fourth in my projections model, so that is interesting. Fifth in my overall stats model. And there makes some interest for me in your like massive GPPs, but he's not going to be the first name I click on. The one glaring thing that I think that he's struggling with this year is hitting fairways. And that's only compared to the field. He's like middle of the road. Like he's not as bad at hitting fairway percentage as Wyndham Clark, but the guy's an amazing ball striker and you need that here, right? He's played here before. You need that course history, learning how to play here. And hasn't played since the Valspar, but still has shown a lot of promise and a lot of upside there. His average finish place this year, 17th. He's made all nine of his cuts that he's played in, so you can most definitely take advantage of that. As much as I used to love Joaquin Niemann here on the PGA Tour, I'm not going to go this live route. There are things that make me interested about Niemann, but just not now. I don't think a top 10 is here at Augusta in the future. But Victor Hovland, absolutely. Patrick Cantlay, absolutely. And Jordan Spieth, absolutely. Here's the thing. I thought Hovland was going to have his breakout year this year. I thought he was getting at least one, maybe two majors. Patrick Cantlay, he's going to figure his stuff out. And Duck Lips there is going to piss some people off. And Jordan Spieth, how can you not play Jordan Spieth at Augusta National? Missed the cut 2 years ago and followed that up with a fourth place and a third place. I know he's got the wrist injury. Don't get me wrong. I've been reading about it. Yeah, with that wrist injury, he finished with a top five. All right. Spieth, 10th at the Valero. Did miss the cut at the Valspar. Did miss the cut at the Players. But followed that up with a 30th at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. DQ'd at the Genesis. We all remember that. And that followed that sixth place finish at the WMPO. So Spieth's been up and down all year, which is quite all right. Six of eight cuts made. He's averaging a 16th place in his last five tournaments with two of four cuts made. Spieth's coming in with great form. He's going to have low ownership because he's got the wrist injury. Let's be realistic, guys. People are not going to be on Jordan Spieth. That number's going to go down. He's at 15% now. It's going to go lower. I think Spieth's in play. I love Jordan Spieth this weekend. I love Victor Hovland this weekend. And I love Cantlay this weekend because they're not getting the appropriate amount of attention that they should. And that's how you crack this Masters leaderboard. Oberg, Zalatoris, and Matsuyama, also guys that are in my player pool. Matsuyama, though, with that 22%, he might be a guy that I end up staying away from. So go down to that 8K range. You got Cam Smith, Dustin Johnson, all the way down to Shane Lowry. It's actually pretty small. So how do you get different here? Your big ownership right now is leaning towards guys like Lowry, guys like Cameron Young and Tony Finau. You get different by going with Cam Smith, Dustin Johnson. I'm sorry, guys. There was a time where I'm like, yeah, I fell for the narrative of Bryson will outdrive everybody and drive all the greens. This is just not going to happen. He hates this course. He does not play well here. It's not built for Bryson DeChambeau. Two missed cuts in a row. I'm not going to roster Bryson. I'm just not. But Sam Burns does kind of pique my interest to 29th after his first missed cut here. Lowry, the ownership kind of makes me suspect of rostering him, but a 16th, 3rd, 21st, and 25th, he's always fun to roster. The hard thing is within this range, like, sure, you can roster Shane Lowry, but then you're going to have to eat nearly 20% of Shane Lowry. And if he burns your lineups, he'll make the cut. But if he finishes in 40th, 50th, like you're screwed. You need all top 10, top 15 guys in your 6-6 lineup to even come close to sniffing the top of the leaderboards. So careful with what you do there. Going down in that 7K range, this is where you're going to differentiate yourself. I think the key plays here are guys like Matt Fitzpatrick. A lot of people are going to Brian Harman. Jason Day actually really interests me. He kind of had his resurgence last year. Sung J.M., he's been cold. Tom Kim's been cold. Ricky Fowler's been cold. So you immediately like going that route and kind of ignoring the recent form and just saying, hey, I'm going to roster you guys. Corey Connors is most definitely going to be highly owned. Fleetwood, again, another guy that guys love to roster. But right now, Thagala at like almost 20% owned is kind of surprising when I can just simply go down to Jason Day. And he's not fitting in anyone's mold right now. He's not. Like, the fifth place finish that he had 5 years ago is the best he's done. Right? Two missed cuts and then a 39th last year. He's not coming in with the best form. Average finish of 36th in his last five tournaments. And he even missed the cut at the Houston Open. Right? 35th of the players, 36th at the API. I think he missed the cut in order to get his game together. And I know people hate saying, like, oh, these are competitors. No, they don't want to miss cuts. But sometimes, you know, a little injury here, especially with someone like Jason Day, a missed cut is a good thing, right? It lets them rest. The reason that people are going towards Tommy Fleetwood is the 7th place finish at the Valero, the 25th place finish at the Valero for Corey Connors, and the fact that Ricky Fowler has been so bad and Tom Kim has been so bad and they just missed the cut of Valero, you know, it leaves hope and promise that, like, these guys are going to be low-owned. Oh, I wanted Ricky to win so bad that year. I think he ended up finishing 5th. And I remember Sunday, like, oh, it's the Ricky Fowler day. I don't know, he finished 9th. But whatever the case may be, you know, that's your kind of mid-tier 7K range. Not going to roster Akshay. If reports are true that he dislocated his shoulder and he's going to play this weekend, I don't want any piece of that, especially on this course, your first time. Russell Henley interests me at 7,200, 4th place last year. He's coming in with pretty awesome form, be it only two events with a 4th place finish last week and then a 4th place finish at the API, which I think is a good barometer of how you could play here along with the players. Siwoo Kim looked good at the players. He's another guy that you can get here. So going to the 6K range, we kind of talked about the guys I like earlier in the show when we were building that Scheffler model. But the one thing I want to point out now is players since the Players Championship, guys that are just playing good golf, oh, we'll go to the API. All right. So no one on this list, with the exception of, let's see, with the exception of Benny On, Olesen, EVR, Bradley, Tom Kidd, Pavon, Luke List, Ogard, Fox, Rose, Viegas, and Zach Johnson, these guys have not made a cut or have missed the cut since the API. Okay, yet the one cut that they had, like for instance, Benny On, his one made cut since the API of three attempts where he finished 8th, he's missed 2 cuts. Okay, these guys are sporadic, to say it best, for the season. Like Zach Johnson's 3 of 8 in terms of season-long cuts. So you got to be careful with who you roster here. But looking at your average place for the last, since the API, all right, Scheffler, Russell Henley, Matt Fitzpatrick, Benny On, Deki Matsuyama, Akshay, Xander, Shane Lowry, Wyndham Clark, Brian Harman, Olesen, Rory, Sahith, Oberg, Siwoo Kim, Corey Connors, Shank Davis, Spieth, and Harris English. All PGA Tours, all guys who are in the top 20, averaging top 20 finish since the API. Most of the guys have made 3 of 3 cuts, 3 of 4 cuts, 2 of 3 cuts. The only exception would be Benny On. But again, looking at them on the whole season, looking special, looking spectacular, right? 9-11 made cuts for Cam Davis. 10 of 10 cuts made for Corey Connors. 10 of 11 cuts for Siwoo Kim. 10 of 12 cuts for Thagala, right? They're all available. Looking at the season-long average finishes, Scheffler, top 10 average finish, 6th place. Then you got Terrell Hatton. You got Aberg, Justin Thomas. Terrell Hatton, how'd you get in there? Yeah, Oberg, Thomas, Spieth, Xander, right? The names you expect to see in there. And then you got Eric Cole sneaking in there. And that's interesting, right? He has an average place on the season of 17th. 17th. And he's made 13 of 17 cuts. So it's interesting with Eric Cole. Now, not in the most recent form, that's for sure. And that does come into play. But a 21st at the API does leave some hope that he'll figure stuff out here at the Masters, even though he's never played. All right? You got someone like Adam Hadwin, who missed the cut 4 years ago. But this year has an average finishing position of 17th with 7 to 10 made cuts. Okay, so these are key things you need to take into account. I think there's ways to get sneaky and get different without kind of going with the chalkier plays. In our strokes gained tee to green, all right, your top five, go to Scheffler, Xander, Decky, Siwoo Kim, Shane Lowry, and then we got Tony Finau at 6th, Chris Kirk at 7th, Akshay at 8th, tied with Glover, actually, and then Corey Connors rounds out that top 10. If you look at this same stat last year and where guys were kind of folding out in here, tee to green, again, you're going to see some similar names, some different, but Scheffler, Rory, Cantlay, Morikawa, Victor Hovland, Rahm, and Finau. If you look at their finishes last year, all right, we'll check out these top 10 guys here in strokes gained tee to green based on last year's stats. All right, we have 10th place finish by Scheffler. Rory missed the cut. Cantlay finished 14th. Morikawa 10th. Hovland 7th. Rahm won it. Finau 26th. Fleetwood 33rd. Xander 10th. And of course, Ricky did not participate. The point being, you can easily fit those guys into your lineups, right? With the exception of your upper echelon, John Rahm, Scotty Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, where you have to get different. But if you're looking at just last year's stats, and I know, get it, last year, different form, everything of that nature. But if you're to tell me that Morikawa, Hovland, Finau, and Fleetwood are not a leaderboard that you can envision, I think you're insane. I think you're insane to think that that's not possible. All right. So, question is, you know what? Who are the four guys I'm definitely rostering this weekend? This is the Cut Lines foreplay, and these are the guys that we're most definitely going to be rostering in our lineups this weekend. We're going to start up here in the 9K range. We're going with Victor Hovland and Jordan Spieth. These are two guys that I'm going to take advantage of. Jordan Spieth, first of all, I don't think he's ever owned enough at Augusta National. I mean, he's won there twice, almost a third. He's on fire right now. And I get it, the questionable tag, I think is going to lower his injury projections. I'm sorry, his ownership projections. And I'm most definitely going to go that route to try and take advantage of a Jordan Spieth that could come in here and rip this course apart. Next is Victor Hovland. Like I said before, I just think that this guy has all the talent in the world. His game's growing. He's getting better. He's a great guy to have on tour. Everyone loves him. His around the green game is getting better. He's someone that I'm going to roster and take advantage of at 9,500. And then we're going down to the 7K range. We're going with Matt Fitzpatrick and Russell Henley. Fitzy, the course history fits here. His recent form has not been bad either. But the one thing that I really love is Russell Henley. I don't think he's a sneaky play, right, with a fourth place finish last year. But what I do love is that he just finished in the top five last weekend. He's coming in here playing really well, and he's only 7,200. Now, he does get some double-digit ownership, but you know what? That's fine. I don't really care, because guess what? We're going to take advantage of a guy who's playing really good golf, a guy who played well here last year. This will be his third time here at the Masters, and I get it. You know what? Russell Henley never won a major. Not expecting him to win, but I'd love it if Russell Henley could get into that top 10 category, top 15 category. Hovland, Spieth, give me the W there. All these guys played great last year. Is that going to repeat? Is that guaranteed? Not necessarily, right? But these are the top four that I'm going to be rostering a lot of. Those are my four top plays for the weekend.
No. Mm-mm. No. 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 Hell no. Can't do it.
This is the Cut Line signature segment where we take double-digit ownership that we can not play. Right? Can't do it. Won't do it. And this includes two specific players. The first, Hideki Matsuyama. Playing great golf right now. Don't get me wrong. I've been all over Hideki's comeback all year. I love it that he's playing great golf. But when you're talking about a 22% owned like 9K golfer, no thank you. I'm not going to dive into that chalk. I'm just not going to do it. Furthermore, not going to play the chalky Denny McCarthy down in the 6K range. You just don't play 6K chalk. Chalk hits at Augusta, I get it. And if Denny McCarthy is the reason I get burned here this weekend, so be it. But you need your lineups to get different. I don't think Denny McCarthy does that at all for you. Like I said, I'd rather go Ekroat. I'd rather go Glover. I'd rather go anyone else but Denny McCarthy here in the 6K range. All right? So just want to make sure that is clear. That those two guys can't play him, can't do it. Right? There's so many different routes to go in that 6K range. I mean, come on. Gary Woodland finished 14th last year. He's 6,400. Zach Johnson finished 34th. Taylor Moore. You know, he made the cut last year. Schwartzel, Freddie Couples, whatever the case you want to be. The point being, Denny McCarthy, 6K range. I'm going to take the risk that double-digit 6K chalk is not going to hit. Can't do it. Hideki can't do it. All right, let's go. Let's take it home.
Oh, you men are all alike. Seven or eight quick ones, and you're off with the boys to boast and brag. You better keep your mouth shut. Oh, I think I love him.
That's it. It's over. It's all over. That is our breakdown of the Masters Championship, the first major of the year. Join us next week as we break down the ever so lovable, wonderful Corrales Punta Canta Championship. No, we're not breaking that one down. Gotcha. We're going to be breaking down the RBC Heritage, one of our favorite tournaments down at Harbortown Golf Links. RBC, man, that's a great tournament. Like, and I love that it follows the Masters. It's perfectly placed. So if you're able to get down to Harbortown, man, it's an awesome, awesome course. They put the driver away. Gotta hit the fairway. Gotta hit a lot of fairways. Anyways, special shout out to Rick Rungood, Rick Gaming at rickrungood.com. Make sure you check out the ownership, the stats. Make sure you guys are cashing and smashing. Got you all the tools, all the talent. It's all there for you. Just pick six golfers that'll kick ass and take names. All right, enjoy the weekend, boys. It's going to be a fun one. Later.